January 2, 1938. In the divine will, miseries and weaknesses turn into the most beautiful conquests. All that is done in the divine volition is first formed in heaven. The entire celestial court participates, and these acts descend to benefit the earth. I continue my flight in the divine volition, thinking to myself, living in the divine will is almost unbelievable. How can one live in it, when the miseries and the weaknesses that one feels, the encounters, the circumstances, are so many that even while one feels them, it seems that the divine will wants to invest all with its light and burn everything up with its love, so that nothing other than its will and love may exist between itself and the creature? But as I was thinking this, my dear Jesus, who is always on guard to spot anything passing in me that is not his will, said, "My good daughter, my jealousy for one who lives in my will is such that I do not tolerate one thought, one weakness or anything else that does not have life in it. You must know that to begin living in my will takes a decision on the part of God, and a firm decision on the part of the creature, to live in it. Now, this decision is animated by a new life, a new divine strength, so as to render the creature unconquerable by any evils or circumstances of life. This decision is not subject to changes, because when we decide, we do not deal with children who play with their decisions, but with the one who we know must persevere. Therefore, we give of ourselves so that she may not give up. She may feel the miseries, the evils and the weaknesses, but this doesn't mean anything, since these things die before the power and the sanctity of my will. They feel the pain of death and run away. Even more so, because the miseries are not born of the human will, that is sunk inside my will and therefore cannot want anything but what I want. Many times my will even uses these miseries to make of them the most beautiful conquests, laying its life upon them, to form its kingdom, impose its dominion and convert the weaknesses into victories and triumphs. To one who lives in my will, all things must serve as the expression of the most beautiful love that the creature gives to the one who forms her life almost as stone, brick and even scrap material serve to the one who wants to build himself a beautiful house. You must know that before she enters to live in our will, we purify everything, we cover and hide everything inside our love, so that we won't see anything but love in this creature. Once our love has hidden everything, even the miseries, she takes her place inside our will. Further, every time she performs her acts, she is purified first, and then our will invests her, making of her whatever it wants. My daughter, in my will there are neither judgments nor judges. So great and so much is the sanctity, the order, the purity and the utility of our ways, that all have to lower their foreheads and adore whatever we do. Therefore, do not lose peace, don't think about the miseries and the circumstances. Leave them at the mercy of my will, so that it may make of them its portents of love. After this, he added, my daughter, all that the creature does in my divine will is first formed in heaven in the eternal day that doesn't know the night. The entire celestial court is already aware that one creature of the earth took refuge in her celestial fatherland, which is already her own, but to do what? To enter into the center of the fiat and call its power and its creative virtue, in order to give it the opportunity to operate in her act. Oh, with how much love she is welcomed not only by the divine volition, but also by the most holy Trinity. They harmonized her to themselves. They embalm her act, and blow in it with their creative power, making such great wonders out of that act, making the whole of heaven feel such joy and happiness that all make the celestial regions resound with harmonious voices, thank you, thank you. You have given us the great honor of being spectators of your will operating within the act of the creature. Heaven is widened by new joys and new happiness, so that all remain bound and grateful, calling her, altogether our welcomed. This more than celestial creature feels loved by God with the double love she feels inundated by new seas of grace. Just as she rises up to heaven, bringing her acts and letting God form wonders in them, so she descends again, becoming the bearer of all that God operated in her act. She floods the earth and invests the whole of creation so that all may receive the glory and the joy of the marvels that the divine fiat operated in the act of the creature. There's no greater homage, love and glory that she can give us than to let us do whatever we want in her acts. We can do the greatest wonders without anybody giving us anything, and even without anybody telling us anything, just as we did in the creation. Nobody said anything to us, but still, how many wonders did we not create? But then, there was nobody, no one, who could give us even a sigh as a pretext for our love, and as a refuge in which to place our creative wonders. But now, there are those who can tell us and give us the variety of their little acts, even the natural ones. Since nature is ours too, and we can use anything to form the greatest marvels in the creature, our love gets more of a taste for it, our power remains more exalted in doing our greatest wonders inside, rather than outside of the little circle of the act of the creature. After all, these are the usual pretexts of our love that, in order to give, goes in search for the opportunity to do it, and to say, she gave to me, and I gave to her. It is true that she is small, but she didn't keep anything for herself. Therefore, it is right that I give everything to her, even myself.